First up, we're going to have somebody that needs to go catch a bus at some point. And he's still talking down the end of the bar there now.
Do you need to catch a bus?
Duh, Hardy.
First up there now and you'll be able to catch a bus. No problem.
Last fiber I had. Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Right. Paul can hear me. I just want to say well done to Paul. I was there on the first night 15 years ago. Where was it?
Wow.
Cat Club.
And here he is 15 years later and is still going strong and is internationally known. Well done. Great stuff. Well done, Rosie. This is by Kapahi. He's, I suppose you all know about him. He wrote it in Egypt, in Alexandria, in Egypt, in the 20s and 30s. It's called This City. And the reason I love this poem is because sometimes I meet people from Cork, and they say, this is a bollocks of a city, and there's nothing here. Blah, 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 blah. And I carry this in my pocket, and I say nothing, and I just take it open and read it. This city, you said, I'll go to a different country, cross the sea, find another, better city than this one. Here, everything I do is wrong, and my heart is dead and buried as a corpse. How long should my soul suffer here? Wherever I turn, anywhere I look, I see the burnt cinders of my life here where I spent too long doing nothing. You'll find no new sea, no new country. This city will always dog you. You'll roam the same streets, go grey in the same houses. You'll always end up here. Forget anywhere else. You've no ship. No road. The life you've wasted here, you've wasted everywhere. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Who is that by?
Kafafi.
Wow, okay. So now we go to Zoom, and can we have Augustina, please?
Staying on theme of the cat and five words, I'm reading by Ray, that was the winner on the 8th of November. You have cough, friend, escape, memories, cat. It's called The Bitter Kitty. It's not easy, friend, being a cat. That fur doesn't lick itself, you know. Yeah, you get your food handed to you, but that's no good. I prefer the chase. Yet I made out the criminal for the fancy. Would you like to have been separated from your darling mother at such a young age as was I? Nah, I didn't think so. My kittenhood rearing doesn't make the fondest of memories. The moment I cough, the humans who think they own me think that I'm sickening to death. So off to the dreaded vet. I can never escape. So if you ever say, I have the life, I'll scob your goddamn face off.
Thank you, Augustina. And next up, we will have Margaret O'Regan, please.
Thanks, Rosie. This particular one is by Martin Hayes, and it's in a collection called Underneath their labour poems. And don't forget that May Day will be coming up soon, and we'll have, I'm sure, marches and talks and all that sort of thing every place, anywhere where anyone lives. So don't forget to participate in May Day. This is called Where the Blood and the Bone Can Be Seen. It's not the stamina that these men show, coming in every day for years, only to be nipped at and pulled at like bait in a shark pool that I can't fathom. It's not the anxiety that these men have learned to live with, seeing their colleagues marched into HR for no apparent reason other than to keep them on their toes, whether or not it will be them next that I can't fathom. It's not the cheek-turning swallowing of rage that these men seem to have mastered, putting up with the constant onslaught of being made to feel worthless by supervisors who act like dogs, who need to piss on a man every half hour just to remind him that this is their territory that I can't fathom. It's not even the camaraderie they show, breaking the ice after a colleague on the back of a particularly nasty bollocking can't do anything but sit still, stunned, trying to digest the insults and threats, somebody finally squeezing him on the shoulder, telling him, "Don't you mind that prick, mate. He's only taking it out on you because his missus keeps asking him if it's in or not whenever he lays on top of her." Causing the whole control room to crack up in forced laughter. Mending the wound, stitching back up their openness where the blood and the bone can be seen so that they can all carry on working, carry on breathing for a little while together. No, that's not what I can't fathom. What it is why some of these men have never thrown down their headsets, got up from their chairs and stormed down to the workshop to pick up a steel wrench, only to come back and smash it over the supervisor's head again and again and again until there is no life left in him either. That's what I can't fathom.
Jeez, I'm glad I don't work in that factory. Thank you, Margaret. Next, can we please have Jim Crickard?
Oddly enough, this is another workplace poem. It's by a very talented poet called Philip Spillane. It's called The Server Hermit, and it's like where spirituality meets working in IT. Servers. Hum. Hum. Through their services, like big boxy bits of Buddhas locked in iron cages, their green eyes winking at me as I pass on. I shift through this shuttle where air conditioners prolong this heat wave with this exhausting ice age. At the back lays a midnight black Dell Optiplex 360 with its dark braille door ajar. In there its motherboard tingled electric emerald like Mother Earth. A boarded circuit garden, pagoda chipsets, extensions and rams, snowed in under by flakes of dust. I clip, clip, clip in the USBs and screw in the lilac VGA. I shove a power cable up its backside. Fan exhales. Finally, I press its bindi and ignite its whole nature. Like a beast awakened from suspended animation. The monitor blinks and displays its GUIs like psychedelic flowers in dawn. Tom-tee-tee, tom-tom-tom. The Windows XP chimes. It tells me things it's doing and done in passive mannerisms. My faithful familiar, I subside in the hum of the server forest, kept away from the windy variable outside where elements evade. Suddenly the power supply coughs, the computer blinks out, and so do I.
Thank you, Jim, and Philip Spillane, who I think
yes.
is here with us on Zoom, maybe.
Oh, that was great. Woo.
So we're going to go to Zoom now, and if you could have Massimo, please.
Thank you so much. This is what I did was just took different quotes by Leo Tolstoy and kind of ordered them kind of like a poem, but these are all his words. So if everyone fought for their own convictions, there would be no war. One of the most widespread superstitions is that every person has their own special definite qualities. That individual is kind or cruel, wise, stupid, energetic, apathetic, etc. But human beings aren't like that. We're like rivers. The water is the same in each and alike in all. But every river is narrower here, more rapid there, here slower, there broader, now clear, now cold, now dull, now warm. Every human being carries in themselves the germs of every human quality. And sometimes one manifests itself, sometimes another, and we often become unlike ourselves while still remaining the same person. If there are as many minds as there are heads, then there are as many kinds of love as there are hearts. If I know the way home and I'm walking along it drunkenly, is it any less the right way because I'm staggering from side to side? We imagine that when we are thrown out of our usual ruts, all is lost. But it is only then that what is new and good begins sometimes. Because while there is life, there is happiness. Seize the moments of happiness, love and be loved. That is the only reality in the world. All else is folly. It is the one thing that we are interested in here. If you want to be happy, be. And when you love someone, you love the person they are, not as you'd like them to be. Because it's not those who are beautiful we love, but those we love who are beautiful. All right, thank you so much.
Thank you, Massimo. And now we'll go to Padraig O'Connell.
Hey, everyone. It's just my first day coming in here, but I've had a really warm impression so far. I'm just going to read a song by a band called Pink Floyd. It's called Two Suns in the Sunset. In my rearview mirror, the sun is going down, sinking behind bridges in the road. And I think of all the good things that we have left undone. And I suffer premonitions, confirm suspicions of the Holocaust to come. The wire that holds the cork that keeps the anger in gives way, and suddenly it's day again. The sun is in the east, even though the day is done. Two suns in the sunset. Could be the human race is run. like the moment the brake locks, the brakes lock, and you slide towards the big truck. Oh no, daddy, daddy. You stretch the frozen moments with your fear, and you'll never hear their voices, and you'll never see their faces. You have no recourse to the law anymore. And as the windshield melts, my tears evaporate, leaving only charcoal to defend. Finally, I understand the feelings of the few. Ashes and diamonds, foe and friend, we were all equal in the end. There it is.
Thank you, Padraig. I really look forward to seeing you next month and hearing your own poems.
Yes.
And last, Pink Floyd. I think somebody could make a career out of reading Pink Floyd. Next up, we're going to stay in the room and we're going to have Stephen O'Brien, please.
I didn't originally plan on reading anything today, but my friend who brought me along didn't realize that he wasn't able to read his own stuff, so I am a bit of a loophole for him to read his own stuff. This one is called As I Always Have. When my broken pieces are found and skin grows paper thin, faculties crush like strawberries and nerves cold as steel in winter. Pull them from the loam soil and wipe away the river's filth. They will rejoin, reform, whole, healing beyond that of folded herbs, lacquers, salves, and oils, pricey. Accept my spirit wavering, like a mirage on a desert road, and I will reform again, as I always have. I will love again, given time, because this too shall pass. Yeah.
And it's only right that we follow up with a pal, don't we? Jake Griggin.
I am the man who found the loophole. This is a poem by an old writer that I really like. You might know him. His name's H.P. Lovecraft. He's not known for his poetry. He's known for his short stories and horror. But this is a poem I really like by him. It's called Night Gaunts. Out of what crypt they crawl, I cannot tell. But every night I see the rubbery things, black, horned, and slender, with membranous wings. They come in legions on the north's wind swell, with obscene clutch that titillates and stings, snatching me on monstrous voyagings to grey worlds hidden deep in nightmare's well. Over the jagged peaks of Thok they sweep, heedless of all the cries I try to make, and down the nether pits to that foul lake where the puffed shuggots splash in deep full sleep. But oh, if only they would make some sound or wear a face where faces should be found.
Thank you. Both of you, pals. Yes. It's good to have friends, isn't it? Come back next month.
Yes, please.
And now we're going to go to Zoom, please, and we'll have Pam Campbell.
Hey, this is Rain on the Cumberland, and it's written by born Southern Appalachian like me, but like me, he lived in the Central Appalachians. All right, Rain on the Cumberlands. Through the stricken air, through the buttonwood balls suspended on twig strings, the rain fog circles and swallows, climbs the shallow plates of bark, the grooved trunks, and wind pellets go hurrying through the leaves. Down, down the rain, down in plunging streaks of watered gray. Rain in the beechwood trees, rain upon the wanderer, whose breath lies cold upon the mountainside, caught up with broken horns within the nettle grass, with hooves relinquished on the breathing stones eaten with rain strokes. Rain has buried her seed and her dead. They spring together in this fertile air, loud with thunder. Thank you.
And thank you, Pam. That was lovely. And next up, we have Patricia Walsh.
I'm going to read a piece by the Bard of Salford, John Cooper Clarke. Do you have him? But this is a situation that we've all found ourselves in at some point in our lives. This is called I Married a Monster from Outer Space. The Milky Way she walks around, all feet firmly off the ground. Two worlds collide. Here comes the future bride. Give me a lift to the lunar base. I want to marry a monster from outer space. I fell in love with an alien being whose skin was jelly, whose teeth were green. She had big bug eyes and death ray glare. Feet like water wings, purple hair. I was over the moon, I asked her back to my place. Then I married a monster from outer space. The days were numbered, the nights were spent in a rent-free foreign shop's intent. When a cyborg chief served up moonbeams, done super rapid on a laser beam. I needed nutrition to keep up the pace when I married a monster from outer space. We walked out, tentacle in hand, because since the earthlings would not understand, they go nudge nudge when we got off the bus, saying it's extraterrestrial, not like us. And it's bad enough with another race, but fuck me, a monster from outer space. In a cybernetic fit of rage, she pissed off to another age. She lives in 1999 with her new boyfriend, a blobless lion. Each time I see her translucent face, I remember the monster from outer space.
Nice one, Patricia. And we're going to stay in the room for another little while, and we're going to have Cal down the line.
My Mother's Garden by Christopher Locke. My Mother's Garden. Parts of it were stolen. Those thin bands of marsh, grass swaying like women bathed in green light. Those nameless clusters were purple swiped from the grounds of a shopping centre. And there are others, but in the end, it's always her, leading her grown-up son on a tour, pointing out what's new or what's uncooperative. Some flowers, stubborn to rise in May's gold hand. I got these, she says, from Swayze Parkway. They were too gorgeous to pass up. And so she surrounds her life like this, a breathing mosaic stitched into the edge of her world, rebuking all the darkness that had once bloomed within her childhood, where pain crippled like a pair of father's hands, until what was a 10-year-old to do but leap from the top of a greenhouse, dress ruffling the space between heaven and glass, the frail body crashing into itself, a shower of diamond spark raining after, her leg opening like a strange mouth, blood mixing with the crumpled flats of daffodils, and her weeping at the fact that she was still alive to weep. What do we have here? I ask, noticing a new row of iris. My mother smiles, crouching down with me. Oh, these, she says, gently reaching for the petals. These have always been my favorite. Thank you.
Gorgeous. Thanks, Cal. And now we'll go to Zoom to Katrina. Catherine Ronan, please.
Thank you. One of my favourite poems is called The Thought Fox by Ted Hughes. The Thought Fox. I imagine this midnight moment's forest. Something else is alive. Beside the clock, loneliness. And this blank page where my fingers move. Through the window I see no star. Something more near. Through deeper within darkness is entering the loneliness. Cold, delicately, as the dark snow, a fox's nose touches twig, leaf. Two eyes swerve a movement that now, and again now, and now, and now, sets neat prints into the snow. Between trees and warily, a lame shadow lacks by stump and hollow of a body that is bold to come. Across clearings, an eye, a widening, deepening greenness, brilliantly, concentratedly, coming about its own business. Till, with a sudden, sharp, hot stink of fox, it enters the dark hole of the head. The window is starless still. The clock ticks. The page is printed.
Thank you, Catherine. And back in the room, we'll go to Bowie, please.
Yeah, I'm going to read a poem by a Polish poet who I've recently discovered. Her name is pronounced Wisława Zimbrowska, which I did not know before because I don't know how to read Polish names. But this poem is called Rehabilitation. I wield imagination's oldest rite and summon up the dead for the first time. I watch for their faces, anticipate their steps, though I know that the dead is dead and gone. It is time to take my head in hand and say, poor Yorick, where is your ignorance? Where is your blind faith? Where is your innocence, your wait and see, your spirit poised between the unproved and the proven truth? I believe in their betrayal. They didn't merit names since weeds sway in their unknown graves, and the crows mock them, and the snowflakes scoff. But Yorick, all this bore false witness. Tickets to the afterlife are paid by our collective memory, uncertain coinage. Every day some dead man's banished from eternity. I see eternity more clearly now. How we give it, how we strip it from the so-called traitor, how his name dies alongside of him. We must give the dead due weight. Our power over them is what we make it. This court cannot convene at night. The judge presiding can't be naked. The earth surges. Those once turned to earth rise up, clod by clod, a fistful at a time. They leave silence behind, return to names, to the nation's memory, to wreaths and cheers. Where is my power over words? Words fallen in tears' depths. Words, words not meant to conquer death, death record, like a photo in its magnesium flash. I didn't even restore them to half breath, a Sisyphus assigned to the hell of poetry. They come at us, sharp as diamonds. They pass along window shops lit in front, along the window panes of cozy houses, along rose-colored glass, along the glass of hearts and brains. Quietly cutting.
Thank you, Bowie. And who was that poet?
Wisława Zimbrowska.
Wisława Zimbrowska. Wow. Okay. Now we will have Antonio.
Hi, so I have selected one poem of one of the milestones, I'd say, of the Irish poetry. So it's April Dusk of Patrick Kavanagh. April Dusk. It is tragic to be a poet now and not a lover. Paradised under the mutest bow. I look through my window and see the ghost of life flitting back, winged. Oh, I am as old as a sage can even be. Oh, I am as lonely as the first full kinged. The horse of Estelle turns away from the hay-filled manger, dreaming of grass. Soft and cool in hollows, does he need jealousy words from John McGeegan Sass, that never was civilized in stall or trace. And a musical bluff boy whistles down the lane, not worried at all about the fate of Europe, while I sit here feeding the subtle pain, one of those tree of God has been uprooted. Thank you.
Thank you, Antonio. And we're going to stay in the room and then go to Zoom. But for now, in the room, can we have Ciarán McCarthy? Ooh.
Mr. Rosie, yeah, just big fucking congratulations to everybody who contributes to OVAIL, to Paul for 15 years.
Yes!
More power. Just going to quickly plug our show. We have a show in the Cork Arts Theatre on at the moment. It's called Styx, and it's... Yeah, it's an exploration of displacement, human displacement in the modern world, and it's in a multidisciplinary show going on this Tuesday to Saturday. If you're around, it's called Styx, and come check it out. It's in the Cork Arts Theatre.
Yeah,
we're about to start. 8 o'clock. Where OVAIL started. Yeah. It's got, it's a good omen. It's a good omen for the show. So, it's a poem by Julian Turrett. It's called The Common Man, and it was written after World War I. And the Cho Collective cover this now. It's usually Michal who says it, but in the absence of Michal, I'm gonna read it. The Common Man. When plaster billboards scream with slogans, fight for your country, go to battle. When media's print assaults your senses, support our leaders, shrieks and rattles. And fools who don't know any better believe the old eternal lie that we must march and shoot and kill. Murder and burn and bomb and grill. When press begins the battle cry that nation needs to unify, and for your country you must die. Dear brainwashed friend, my neighbor, dear brother from this or other nation, know that the cries of anger, fear are nothing but manipulation by fat cat kings who covet riches and feed off your sweat and blood, the leeches. When the call come to arms engulfs the land, it means that somewhere oil was found, shooting black gold from underground. It means they found a sneaky way to make more money, grab more gold. But this is not what you are told. This is not what you are told. This is not what you are told. Don't spill your blood for bucks or oil. Break, burn your rifle, shout no deal. Let the rich scoundrel kings and bankers send their own children to get killed. May your loud voice be amplified by the roar of other common men, the battle weary of all nations. We won't be con to war again.
Thank you, Ciarán. I'm sorry, the loves. Ukraine, and you know, we are called to war again and again and again, and how do you not get sucked into the bullshit? Because at the end of the day, you have to defend your house and your family, so yeah. Okay, thank you, Ciarán. Next we'll go to Zoom, and we'll have Jeff Cottrell, please.
Thank you. So this is a poem by my friend Cynthia Gould, who is a Toronto-based poet and novelist and musician and painter, kind of a Jill of all trades. And this is her poem, Gutter Stars. Don't tell me that you understand me when you don't know all of the gory details, and the few you have an inkling about make you nervous. Don't tell me that you're listening to me when every word from my mouth is filtered through your mind's interpretation of what I meant to say. Don't tell me that you know where I'm coming from when even your nightmares could not resemble the places I've crawled out of. Don't tell me that you only want to see me happy when you could never believe that the moment I learned how to be happy, I was listening to glass shatter across the street as the boy who had been my lover, my love, 5 minutes before, threw a bottle in rage, the contents of which were the reason why I was lying on the sidewalk. He stomped away over the icy glass, which, like my heart, was smashed beyond repair. And I lay on that cold pavement, more alone than I had ever been before, in the rich neighborhood between the skiddy bar and my apartment. And I cried, sobbed, screamed, not thinking that someone might call the cops, not thinking of how I could possibly crawl home from there, not thinking that I was a glaring target for any sort of attack, not thinking of anything but my own miserable self, when finally I looked up past the gutter, past the buildings, dark trees. I saw the stars, twinkle, tiny, dancing, magic sparkles put there a zillion years ago, just to brighten my black, black night right now in the midst of my tragic loneliness. They made me a little bit happier. Don't tell me that you understand me when you haven't seen the stars from the gutter and realize that it is me and me alone who decides whether or not I will be happy. And again, that's Gutter Stars by Cynthia Gould.
Thank you, Jeff, and thank you, Cynthia Gould. That was a good one to remind us. Yes, that the stars are always sparkling, aren't they? Great. So now we will go back to the room, and we'll have Cottle Holden.
Oh yes, yay!
Hey guys, how we doing? I'm gonna read two poems. One is short. It's by one of my favorite poets, the Dalai Lama. But not the current Dalai Lama. This is by the sixth Dalai Lama, who was a bit of a bad boy. This is called Footprints in the Snow. The sixth Dalai Lama, he was recognized, but he never took the vows. So he lived as a layman, and he was like, he was a rake. He was a ridiculous mofo. I love to do. I saw to my lover at twilight, snow fell at daybreak. Residing at the Potala, I am rigged in Sangyang Gyatso, but in the back alleys of Showtown, I am rake and stud. Secret or not, no matter, footprints have been left in the snow.
It's got an ambulance getting in. He's just a sweet old man. This one is by a friend of mine, Katie Nimahuna. First people, I see in the eye of my sister, her hair wrapped with seaweed, in the flagstone shore we are walking, the songs of first people, her skin is singing. I see in the eye of the needle, the hawthorn fishhook, the hollow and the spindlewood, the spungum and the moon's blood, the fingers, ebony and ochre of first people, the hazel tree is laughing. And the bent backwards blackthorn slow and slow collapsing. The berries and shillelagh, the tic-tac tapping, the suck on the shore of smooth stony cove clacked by the tide retracting, first people chitter-chattering. I hear in the caverns of sky and lilac heights of rock left behind, when the steps fell down the mountainside, and I listen to the folds or wrinkle from the lilt of my elders, and in the spiral on their periwinkle, the words of first people. And by on Bo Banaha, I smell her breath at night, dragging the starry plough across the world's reflections, decanting divinity's connection and unearthing the she-oak stories, the gods beyond the allegory, the mirrors for first people. In the grikes between the flats, we catch and flash the orc of orchids and of sprats, as the fertility of scars shines out to us between the cracks. And I hear the healing chants, claps and whistles, the souls and souls that dance with first people. And I ask the trees, the streams and mountains, that if it is that we would surrender to their wisdom and dance within their rhythms and stop bartering for cash to clash with them and turn the cracks to schisms, that we can receive the truth of what we've been given and be first peoples again and accept what this land isn't and learn from our past, be present, protective, and honour her provision. O land that kept my ancestors, let my grandchildren hear the hazel tree when she is laughing, and feel the red fox through the briars, blazing. Let them plait my hair, grown grey, and notice the stones we sit on matching. Let them live and dance as first people, and sing the songs and stories everlasting.
Thank you, Carl. What's your friend's name?
Katie Nimahuna.
Katie Nimahuna. That's a cracking poem.
Yes,
that is.
Thank you, Katie Nimahuna. We don't have any more people on the Zoom unless you want to stick your name in the chat there now in the next few minutes. And we're going to stay in the room and we'll have Sue Bloom, please.
Thanks very much. Well, I have decided to do two pieces. They're relatively short each, as in they're short each. I want to think of the people that can't be here. The first person I want to think of, the first thing I want to do before I start is I want to plug our event. We have a poetry extravaganza of a show, the Blue Mondays Poetry Show, preparing for the 24th of April, which is a Sunday. And you can enjoy that Sunday afternoon from 2:30 to 3:30 in Fitzgerald's Park. We're going to be on the big stage and we have something really special prepared for you, because we're not just going to have our seven readers read in sequence. We are interspersing every solo with a poetry ensemble, meaning an ensemble where two or more poets cooperate on performing a piece mixed by different poems from them, or performing just one piece by one poem with two people. And the peak of that will be a speech choir with three voices, six people on the voices. So I hope you can make it 2:30 to 3:30 on the 24th of April. This will be the peak of our Blue Mondays Poetry Anthology campaign for Cork Simon. Cork Simon supports the fight against homelessness. And so we're going to be selling the books at the event as a last thing. And after that, we'll we'll hopefully be able to present a lot of funds to Cork Simon. So the first poem I want to read is of a poet by a friend of ours who cannot be here because she's a mother and she has a very young child with her. And I love the child very much as well as I do the mother. Her name is Anish Behar and her daughter is called Erin. And I'm reading my favourite poem out of the Blue Mondays anthology of hers. And this is called She Holds Her Hand. And it's dedicated to her two favourite girls. She holds her hand with warmth and care. The old wrinkled hand is stroking her hair. And it takes me years back in time when that same hand, the younger, was mine. She held my hand, she wiped my tears, kept me safe throughout the years. That gentle hand never left my side. Oh, she held my hand with pride. Now their hands are intertwined. The circle of life is clearly defined. My future, my present, and my past. The image of two hands in my heart, forever to last. So that was by Anish Behar. The second person who cannot be here, who has been joining us on Zoom, is Ada Miles, who hails from Ukraine. She has fled to Berlin, where she is safe now, and she's part of the Blue Mondays poetry group. And I would like to read one of her two poems in the anthology. It uses a Danish word called hygge. Hygge means something like comfort, comfortably, and the German translation would be gemütlich. Some of you might have heard that word because it's very specific to our culture, and this is a Danish word used by a person from Ukraine, and it's called a hygge villanel. This is the cup I drink tea from. I watch that it's kept intact. Simple things. Hygge. Home. Roman things when in Rome. I figured, as loudly cracked my favourite cup to drink tea from. I glued it in fierce boredom, a quiet cup-gluing sect, in simple things higged home. Ragged, back from a maelstrom, I hope things become exact. That's the new cup I'll drink tea from. A cup's resurrection from shards leaves me awed, respect. Simple things, bigger, home. There is a stitch in my genome, fixing what to protect. Coding that cup I drink tea from. Simple things, bigger, home.
Thank you, Sue and Ada, if you're listening, we're all thinking of you. Next up, can we please have Roisin Leggett Bowen, please?
Yeah, thanks everyone. All your work is just, it's so nice to hear the work read by other writers. This piece I'm reading was introduced to me by another wonderful writer who's in the room tonight, Patrick McGinchy. And this piece is called Well-Worn Wings, and it's by Eleanor Hooker. That cabinet in my mind where I put things I'd rather not consider is almost full, row upon row of stones stacked behind its vast yew doors, collapse in on themselves daily like bones in a graveyard. The cabinet sits above high water in the back room named Unutterable. I didn't name the room and don't know who did, but I'm conversant with its cinnamons,
The creature that guards the room is not an eel or a terrible fish. It just is, and occasionally is not. Where I trace the damp blue walls, a soft mould chalks the paint with my impressions. This room is a dark and broken sea where disturbed waters drown time. I catch sight of my well-worn wings, their hooked veins patched blue and green, old wounds. With effort, they wrench me from the water's pull, settle me on a rusty pocaine protruding from the wall, nearby all my birds, obsidian and raven, caw. What at the question of my unsettling? Remove. I unfeather back to the raucous. I pluck quills from my shoulder bones until dismantled. I am back at source, flightless. Woman, and unutterably sad.
Thank you, Roisin, and Eleanor Hooker, also thank you. And now we will have Max Creedon, please.
One thing is, while we were thinking about Ada, when she's working with us, she's actually very experimental and original, very fascinating mind for a young 24-year-old girl. She just does free typing on her computer, and she came up with that poem because the letters sat together. And she said, well, that looks a little bit like Hugo. And so she created the title and quickly worked at it. And another night she did a fantastic one, series of letters and Y's and Z's, and she decided it looked like an egg from Hades, and we did a very experimental punk industrial version of that. So that has to be great credit to that young woman for the journey she's made. I just picked on this now. It's about aubergines. I love aubergines, and I really love Susanna Truffolino. Will you ever say it right? Susanna Truffoletti. That's this sort of magic Italian accent reading about the aubergines. But I can't do that, but I'll do the Welsh cock for you. So she can't be here. She's a very devoted mom, and you know, she's a magical, glossy little thing. So this is for her. She's reading the exams. I want to do yours, Pam, and I want to do Agostino's, but here we go. The Ode to Aubergines, the testimony of travels and trials, reinvented on every shore they brought you. Ma anciana, we say at home, with the consonants falling on each other as the lip is eating the vowel. Poisonous at first, wild in the far continents, knowledgeable hands changed your DNA in Africa and India. They say you got domesticated in your tresses of marbled paper and mystery dark purples. Dear pineapple, melanzana, I lightly fry you and put you in a blanket of dark tomato puree, like the good old days when I could smell you on the, as the ferry was landing under the balcony of my auntie's. The table was laid out with the pasta on each side, parmigiano on the other, dark tomato sauce in the pot, and you alone in a bowl. That's how cooks survive, my auntie says, when each of you wants a different combination and layering of the dish. My brother goes for the pasta and parmesan. My parents for the pasta and tomatoes, while I want you, just you, on a velvet carpet of a reduced sauce. Your flesh, home to my teeth, rich, toned and creamy. I keep you on my tongue longer,
feel your weight and succulent fibres before chewing your saltiness. I taste you, I taste you, I taste you. Bow to the aubergine.
We're all hungry now, are we? No, I am anyway.
We're going to Mainz.
We're going to have to go to Mainz and eat some food, yeah. But before that, we're going to have Billy Ramsell.
Thanks. I'll pick up on Antonio there and read a poem by Paul Durkin called In Memory of Patrick Kavanagh. But I will say it in memory of Joe Sweeney. Yeah. I awoke with a pain in my head and my mother standing at the foot of the bed. There is bad news in the paper, she said. Patrick Kavanagh is dead. After a week that was not real, at last I settled down to a natural meal. I was sitting over a roast beef sandwich and a pint in Mooney's across the street from the rotunda when I heard an old Northsider at the table next to me declare to his missus, sure, he was pure straight. God rest him. Not like us.
Thank you, Billy and Durkin and Sweeney.
And Jackie.
Yeah, and Jackie Shortland, yeah. So that's all people on the list there now. Any more? It's not a Paul poem, but thank you, Paul, for all you do.
Yes.
For sure, we're all here. Thanks to you. Well, I feel bad now. I should have Paul's poem here, but I don't. I have a different poem by a lady named Ada Limon. It was sent to me during the week. People don't often send me poems, so it's really nice to be sent a poem. So I'm going to read this, and it's called Mowing. The man across the street is mowing 40 acres on a small lawnmower. It's so small, it must take him days, so I imagine that he likes it. He must. It goes around each tree carefully. He has 10,000 trees. It's a tree farm, so there are so many trees. One circle here, one circle there. My dog and I have been watching the lights escaping the sky, and there's this place I like to stand. It's before the rise, so I'm invisible. I'm standing there, and I've got the dog. And the man is mowing in his circles. So many circles. There are no birds or anything, or none that I can see. I imagine what it must be like to stay hidden, disappear in the dusky nothing and stay still in the night. It's not sadness, though it may sound like it. I'm thinking about people and trees and how I wish I could be silent more, be more tree than anything else. Less clumsy and loud, less crow, more cool white pine, and how it's hard not to always want something else, not just to let the savage grass grow.
Thank you.
So let's all go and continue with our freedom. And onto Mainz and onto the future. And thank you everybody for participating, and thank you all the Zoom participants. Thank you. Have a lovely week. Have a lovely night and life.
See you in Mainz.